Okay, I hope I didn't mess this up. It's the 14th. Are you recording? Yes. Is it recording? Yes, it is. Okay, good. It's the 14th. I think I messed up the previous one. And we have a lot to do. Have you noticed we have a lot to do every day? Have you noticed that? We always have a lot to do, which I think is a good thing. Idle hands are the devil's playground. But first, we're going to go through housing. But first, we need a good joke. Anybody have a good joke? No? Did I tell you about the alligator and the dog? Not the dog. I didn't tell you the dog. I'll tell you. I'll do the jumper. Did I tell you about the jumper cables? No. See, I didn't tell you about the jumper cables. So these jumper cables walk into this bar, right? And they're a really, really rough pair of jumper cables. They got tattoos and spiked hair and they go up to the bar, and they say, "I want a beer. Give me a beer." And the bartender says, "All right, here's your beer. Now, you're welcome here. I want you to go sit over there, and don't start anything." See, he's jumper cable. I don't want him to start anything. So, okay, we're going to get rid of the... You guys got them? You got these? Okay. We're going to get rid of the bar jokes eventually. Very soon, we're going to be done with bar jokes. But I think they're the best jokes. No, the best jokes are Battle of the Sexes jokes. Okay, so now what? Okay, today we're going to go through chapter 7, and that's housing. We'll finish up on Tuesday, chapter 7, housing. And so next Thursday, day before we leave, next Thursday will be exam number 2. So please contact me if you need help with any of the calculations. There will be the chapter 5, interest, principal times rate times time. Chapter 4, the check reconciliation. And then today and on Tuesday, we'll go over it again, we'll do the mortgage calculations. So chapter 5, simple interest. Chapter 4, the check reconciliation and then mortgage counts. No calculations for chapter 6, consumerism and cars. So bring a Scantron and a calculator, 99-cent calculator. And remember, one page of handwritten notes. Don't try to sneak what the guys in the prison try to do. So one page of handwritten notes. Questions, thoughts, ideas, comments, criticisms? Are you getting an education? Good. That's my job. That's what they pay me. It seemed to stop in the other class. Okay. So we're going to discuss housing. Now, a third of Americans now spend at least 30% of their income on housing. That's the federal definition of an unaffordable housing. Is that what people spend here? One-third, 30%? No, yeah. Do we spend more? Where's Sarah? Pass this back to Sarah, please. Yeah. San Diego, you look at your cash flow statement, and what do you see? What percentages of your income? Andrew, you guys got a sandwich. Kenya, what do you see? Half! 50%. Everyone say half. Why don't I ask you? What do you see? Half, yeah. But do you really want to live in Youngstown, Ohio? Have you ever been to Youngstown, Ohio? No, you don't want to live there. You don't want to live there. Or Erie, Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is what it actually is. A good place to be from. Far from. All right, so now, what we're going to do is we're going to jump to the end of the presentation. We're going to jump to the very last slide, and we're going to learn how to do mortgage calculations. So this is not the one in the worksheet I just gave you, right? The worksheet's on page number 2, right? We'll do that one after we take a look at this one. So we're jumping to the very end of the presentation, because what would happen is we would do this at the end of the last day, right? Well, usually you have time to review chapter 5, chapter 4, but calculations. But then if you miss the day before the exam, who's absent that day? People just leave the damn thing blank. So we'll give you two chances to take a look at it. Now, can you, we're going to see that you really need more than, you're not going to give you 0% down unless you're FAA. But say you get a $300,000 loan. Let's say you put $30,000 down. Can you get a condo here in the South Bay for $330,000? Yeah. Not the most, not the most ritzy neighborhood and everything. But let's say you're able to put $30,000, maybe $15,000, your first-time home buyer, and you get a one-bedroom, maybe a two-bedroom condo, and you got a loan for $300,000. So your loan is $300,000. How does this work? Well, you look at the bottom of worksheet number, worksheet, and you'll see a table. Does that look familiar? It's basically the same kind of table that we did in Chapter 1, in the future value tables. But it's more specialized. In fact, if you went into a mortgage broker, a real estate office 30, 40 years ago, before handheld devices, the internet and everything, you would have seen these binders filled of these tables to do mortgage calculations. But you don't see that anymore because everybody has a device that can launch the shuttle. And so you're going to use these tables on the exam. They'll be on the exam. And if you want to get an app for your smell phone, go right ahead. But what is the payment per $1,000? Well, you go to your mortgage broker, go to your bank, your credit union. They will offer you a 30-year loan. You have good credit, you have a decent job. They'll give you 4.5% now. Maybe less. Maybe you're going to do a little research. That's Chapter 7 assignment. You're going to do a little research. So go across the 4.5% down 30 years, and do you see the payment per $1,000? You see 5.067. Everyone should nod their heads yes and go yes. Okay. So what is that? So the loan is $300,000, and the payment is 5.067. But that's the payment per $1,000. So what we do is we take the $300,000 loan and cross off the last three zeros. Now, if you want to, you can divide by 1,000. That'll work. That'll work. That's fine. But multiply 300 times 5.067 to make sure I got it right. Do it. Do it. Get your calculator. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. 99-cent calculator. Okay. Bring out your smell phone. Put it on vibrate. Make sure it doesn't go off. 300 times 5.067. $1,520.10. So our monthly payment is $1,520.10. Is that fairly affordable? What are some people paying for a two-bedroom apartment? Upwards of $2,000, right? But that's just the principal and the interest. That doesn't include property taxes, another $300-$400 a month. Insurance, $88 a month. Utilities, $100. Maybe HOA fee, which is sometimes $300, yeah, depending on whose brother-in-law is getting rich off of it. So you're looking at several hundred dollars more, right? It will almost always be more expensive for you to own than to rent in the short term. In the short term. Okay, cool? Now, that's just one payment. How many payments are you going to have to make? Well, this is actually a very simple calculation. How many years? Tough question, folks. How many years? See, it says years. 30. That stands for years. Okay, not yours. Years. 30. And then how many months in a year? Unless you're in Ethiopia, they have 13. So 30 times 12 months per year, how many payments? 360 payments. So you turn to your spouse and say, look, dear, only 359 more payments, and it's all ours. Isn't that nice of the bank? They actually own your house. They just let you live there, make the payments. Very nice. That's why you want to be a bank when you grow up, I'm telling you. So now, if we're going to make this $1,520.10 payment 360 times, what are we going to pay over the life of the loan? 1520 times 0.10 times 360. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Do it, do it, do it, do it. See why you want to be a bank when you grow up? And this is dirt cheap. Run it again for 6 or 7%. Or 9%, which is what it was, 10% in the 1980s. So, but remember, we borrowed $300,000 of that. It wasn't our money, it was the bank's money. So it's not on this this slide. But how much interest did we pay? $547,236 minus $300,000? Tough question. If you just take 5 minus 3, I don't ask you anything and you cannot compute. I mean, I really don't ask. You can't compute this. Yeah, $247,236 in total interest over the life of the loan. See? Yeah. Yeah, almost double. Yeah. But now, let's say maybe you're married, you both have pretty decent salaries, you're into saving. You go to your mortgage broker, your bank, your credit union, you say, Ms. Broker, Ms. Mortgage Broker, Ms. Loan Officer, we think we can handle the 15-year loan. Right? We think we want to pay this thing off and not have any payments after 15 years. So it's the same loan, but now if you go with a 15-year loan, they will drop the interest rate at least 0.5%, sometimes more. And that's a fundamental part of investing. If you're lending money out to somebody for 15 years, you're going to expect a lower rate of return than if you lend it out for 30 years because there's more time for stuff to screw up, right? There's a few other things going on there. But you're going to accept a lower interest rate. So go across the 4% down 15 years, and do you see what the payment per $1,000 is? Make sure you do this because you can't ask next door on the exam. Yeah, you think it might be double, right? No, it's not. 7.397. We take the $300,000. What do you do to the last three digits? Everyone should say cross them off or take them off. What do you do to the last three digits? Cross them off. So 300 times 7.397. 2000. And you can see it's up here. You don't really have to. I wish you would, though, but it's right up there. And 18 cents or 10 cents? Okay, so people think it's going to be twice the amount as the 30-year loan. But is it? Everyone should say no, Frank. No. Oh, thank you. Why? Because the first several years that you're paying your mortgage, most of your payment goes to interest. And so if you just pay a little bit more against the principal, that loan is going to go down quite rapidly. And in this case, your loan's going to go down in half. So, if it's only 15 years, how many months in a year? Everyone should say 12. How many months in a year? 12. Unless you're in Ethiopia, they have 13. So now we have how many payments? 180 payments. Oops, that's supposed to be here. Number of payments. Number of payments. That's supposed to be right here. So, 15 fewer years. 2219.1 times 180 is? $339,438. So, you see? See the difference? And, no, was that right? 399. I'm sorry, not 339. 399, 438. I can't hear. So, yeah, I thought that was a little weird. So the total amount of the loan, including the principal, is almost $400,000. But we borrowed $300,000, so our interest is $99,438. And you see the huge difference in price and interest? Huge difference in interest. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Is this that hard to do? No, you got to remember to subtract the three zeros, because then people will tell me that the monthly payment is only $2,291,000 on the $300,000 loan. You paid off 1 month, then they owe you a bunch. Okay, so you ready to do the calculations on the worksheet? Okay, so let's go. Let's do worksheet number Remember, everything's on the website if you miss a class. Okay. There it is. I already had it on the screen. Duh. So, we go up a little bit higher up on the hill, a little look down upon the peons, pay a little bit more. And so now we got a loan for $350. Can we get a decent place for $350 with a loan? We maybe have to put down $30,000, $380. Yeah? Yeah, you can do it. No, it's not La Jolla. No, you don't get a doghouse for that in La Jolla. Okay, so what's the mortgage rate for a 30-year loan?
4.5.
Right, 4.5 about. You shop around, you'll find better. So what is our payment per $1,000? Go across the 4.5 down 30 years. 5.067. So that's at 4.5 for 3 years. Is it likely that interest rates are going to change perceptibly between now and next Thursday? They change every day, but no, they're not going to change. Maybe they will, but probably not. So do you think we'll have 4.5% next week when we do the exam? Can I make it any plainer? Okay. So what do you do the last three zeros? Everyone say cross them out. What are you doing the last three zeros? So 350 times 5.067. What's our monthly payment?
What is our monthly payment?
$1,000.45. So again, what some people are paying for a two-bedroom apartment, but that doesn't include insurance, doesn't include taxes, HOA, utilities. And how many months are we going to do that? 30 years times 12 months per year, 360 payments. So number of payments. And so the total amount of the loan, I'm running out of room. They made the screen bigger, but they didn't give us any more board. Total amount of the loan. So $1,773.45 times 360. Somebody in the cheap seats?
$638,442.
But we borrowed $350 of that. So subtract $350. And how much interest is the bank going to get over the 30 years? $288,442. That's why you want to be a bank when you grow up, or at least be a banker. And that's why they're always so friendly when you walk in. Have you just worried about, wondered why they're always so nice to you? Hi, how you doing? I'm fine. Thank you very much. Credit unions, you know, a little more cool. Say hi. Okay. All right, so now we go to our mortgage broker and say, Ms. Mortgage Broker, you know, we think we can afford a 15-year loan. Can you offer us a 15-year loan? Yeah, we can. In fact, we'll lower the interest rate to 4% if you want to go with a 15-year loan. We'll lower the interest rate by half. So go across the 4%, down 15, and what's that multiplier?
7.39.
I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong one. 7.397. I looked at 3.5%. 7.397. Multiply the 350. What happens to the last three zeros? You cross them out. And so what's our monthly payment? Yeah, $2,588.95. So you got to come up with an extra $800, right? Almost. But we only have to do that for 15 years. So what's our number of payments? Yeah, 15 times 12, or 180 payments. So what's our total amount of the loan? 466.011. But remember, we borrowed $350 of that. So it's 116.011. So, the difference. Now, does this mean you have to go with a 15-year loan? No. Many people say, no, you know, really, that's a lot more than we can afford. But every month, you're able to put an extra $100 on the loan if you want. Or what some people do is they do a tax refund. They put it against the loan. Or some people make a 13th payment. They make they get a bonus or something like that. And what that'll do, it won't knock it down by 15 years, but that 30-year loan will become a 22-year loan or a 23-year loan. So you'll knock off several years, which is cool if you think this is where you're going to live. If you know you're leaving in 3 or 4 or 5 years, does that make a whole lot of sense? It's up to you. You guys are kind of quiet today, huh? That's okay. Don't mind. I'm limping into break. So let's now go through the discussion, because housing, you know, it's such a personal decision, but it's such an important decision. And what's going to happen is you're going to run across people, usually real estate agents, but other people too, say, oh, you don't want to rent. You're just throwing your money away. Is that true? No. I mean, that's like saying, oh, you don't want to eat. You're just throwing your money away. You don't get to keep it. Your clothes are going to eventually fall off. Why bother? Why bother? Well, you know, shelter is one of the 3-4 things we need, right? Food, clothing, and shelter, and internet access for life to be complete. And so renting is a viable option. Now, are there problems in the long term as far as I'm concerned in renting? Yes. A lot of it depends on you and where you want to wind up. And that's why, have you got your ABCDs? We're going to ask you some questions later on. Who needs ABCDs? Okay, pass these around. We got extra 3-ring binders. Remember that you can. There's a place for you to put your papers and your ABCDs too. So, how you spend your time and money, your lifestyle affects your housing choices, and of course, personal preferences are modified by financial factors. What can we afford? Traditional financial guidelines suggest you spend no more than 25 to 30%. About 1/3 of your take-home pay on housing, or no more than 2.5 times your annual income for the price of a home. Obviously, the authors, these people doing this, don't live in San Diego. Is renting a viable option? Yes. Sure it is. Mobility, you can pick up and leave, whereas selling a house can be problematic at times. You don't have to deal with the responsibilities, and all the things being equal, which they never are, renting will always be cheaper, almost always be cheaper than owning in the short term. Are you with me? If you compare apples to apples, renting is going to be cheaper in the short term. Now, in the long term, it might wind up being a hell of a lot more expensive, especially if you want to live in San Diego. Because is San Diego becoming any less desirable to live in? No, see, you haven't been to Youngstown, Ohio yet. And when you're there, top of Philadelphia. It was a good place to be from. You know, the weather was so horrible. It was so nasty. Humans weren't designed to live in places like this. You know, you're in the winter, it's so cold. You think it's cold here. Right? You just wish it would be warm, 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 warm. And then there's 2 or 3 weeks of glorious springtime. The trees burst forth. The air is fresh, and then it's a steam bath for 4 months until September. It's so unfair. You know, you wish the winter would be nice, and the summer, no. The fall is the only nice time. Fall is so, you want to go to Vermont in fall or Pennsylvania in fall, but you know it's coming. You guys got your ABCDs? Yeah. Okay, cool. No fair. Get me out of here. I got out of there. I escaped. So, what are the disadvantages? The real estate agents will say few financial benefits. Well, not always true, especially if you bought in 2007, right? There are problems with owning, as we'll see, but it's true. No growth of equity. You have fairly restricted lifestyle, but some people who own have a restricted lifestyle, which we'll take a look at. There's the lease and the security deposit. The lease. We'll take a look at that. And anybody, we'll get the insurance after we come back from the break. But it turns out that only 40%, I think that's high, 40% of renters actually own renter's insurance. And I thought it would be a lot less than that. We'll discuss that when we get to insurance. But here are the, I'm sorry, where's the lease? There's the lease. Okay, so I'm sorry. The search. Okay, we'll get the lease in a bit. Select an area. Talk to current and past residents. They'll tell you the truth, usually. Before signing the lease, make sure the lease dates, costs, and facilities are clearly represented. Now, this is from the book, and it scares the living daylights out of me. If you can't understand the lease, did you read the lease, right? Did you read it? No, you didn't read it. Is the judge going to ask if you read the lease? No. What's the judge going to ask? Did you sign the lease? Okay. If there are parts that you can't understand, the book suggests that you talk to a lawyer. If they can't explain it to you and you can't understand it, I think that's a really bad sign. But hey, you really want the place, talk to a lawyer. Note in writing, a good landlord will do this with you, the walkthrough, the check-in, the check-out, the condition of the rent. Any person who signs the lease can be held liable. So two of you go in, and that person disappears. They're in now Puerto Vallarta or Puerto Rico or one of these places start with letter P. They're going to come after you for the lease. You understand? And then what happens if you leave? What happens if you try to run away? You're still on the hook for the entire lease. And in the lease is this provision to say, you abandon the place, we can rent it and double collect. So we can still come after you for the 6 months if you sign a 6-month lease. Most people though here, like month to month. But if you sign a 6-month lease or a year lease and you leave, there's a provision in the lease that says if you abandon it, the landlord can turn around and rent it again and still come after you for the whole lease. Who is protected by the lease? Is the lease to protect you, the renter? No, the lease is there to protect the landlord. Don't forget that. Make sure you understand it. Make sure you read through the whole damn thing. You know, subletting you don't see too often here on the West Coast, but on the East Coast it's really important. California, you have to give 24 hours notice before somebody, unless it's an emergency. If it's an emergency, you know, place, there's water coming out. Okay, we can go in. But normally they can't come in without 24 hours notice. They can put restrictions on certain activities. I love this. You know, if you're a landlord, you have to get in writing that your tenant is not going to sell drugs or do other illegal activities on the premises. Is that stupid or what? Like, oh yeah, I rented to them so that they could sell drugs and make heroin or meth or something like that. But if you don't do that, the DEA come after you and say, we're taking your house. You knew they were doing it. We're going to take your house.
Is that sick?
Now, do you like your landlord? Are they a big jerk? Okay, I don't want you to feel too badly because I'm going to show you a landlord's horror story. Can you see that? And I thought this was the worst, you know. And then I had a student. Any horror stories? Anybody rent? Anybody landlords? Or you're the people who did it? Can you see it? Yeah. Any horror stories? The best one was a few years ago, a student from Texas. He was from Texas. He was here in the military. And his parents owned a place that they rented out to two guys, roommates. The one killed the roommate. And then started a fire to hide the evidence. And that, this guy's really stupid, right? Okay. What happens when a fire goes off? Yeah, the fire department comes and puts out the fire. And then they find his dead body in there. How, you know, a fire in a house gets up to about 1,000 degrees, which is pretty damn bad, but ain't enough to burn a body. You got to get up to 1,800, 2,000 degrees before you burn the body. And so they find this burnt body and... Dude, by the way, don't go into a burning house, okay? 1,000 degrees will melt the skin off your face. It won't burn you, though. It'll just melt your skin. Okay. Okay. So, if you can demonstrate that you are a good tenant, Sometimes the landlord will keep your rent increases to a minimum. I, full disclosure, I am a landlord, and I do this. I think a good tenant is worth the lower rent to a landlord, because one tenant can cost you thousands of dollars, thousands, and you want to squeeze their neck until their eyes pop out, and you can't do that. You've got to go to get the lawyer, that's $1,000, and then they have to go through and evict them, and that takes a few months, and then they might show up, and you have, they might have a court date, and you have to show up, and then the lawyer's going to ask you about the lease, and then they're going to ask them, it's very bad, very bad. One guy, you know, he's a big, strong guy, he beat his wife, and he beat these doors. In, not the outside door. These are inside doors, you know, the bath, the bedroom door. They're nothing. They're hollow inside, right? He put, put his fist through there. Strong guy. And the day we evicted them, the marshals come with their guns drawn, and you're supposed to stand there with the key. Like, I don't want to do this, you know. Yeah, he's got guns. I know, no, I'm pretty sure nobody's in there, but they go, marshals, you know, San Diego marshals, we're coming in. Okay, I'm kidding. And then later on, the mother-in-law and the mother come and start taking stuff out, and they almost started a fight. Your daughter, my son. So you get that's what you have to look forward to if you become a landlord. So don't feel so bad. Clean and leave the unit in same condition you got it. Provide the landlord with new address for deposit. Require any deductions your deposit be documented. In California, if you try to screw your tenant, if you're the landlord, or if you're trying to be, they're trying to screw you, it's a three. They multiply it by three. Whatever reward you get is multiplied by three. So if they try to screw you, they'd say, "Oh, you destroyed this when you didn't. Make sure you take pictures." You get three times damages in small claims, which is pretty darn easy to go to. Okay, so any questions about owning? I mean, renting? Any questions? Okay, now the American dream. Do you all want to own? Yes, someday. It's all ours in 30 years, dear. 360 payments. But dreams can turn into nightmares, which is what happened in the Great Recession. We're going to see that. We're going to see how bad it got. You get to deduct the mortgage interest, deduct the property taxes and state and income taxes. Remember, though, the Republicans put a cap on those. You get to build equity by paying down the loan and by price appreciation, protecting against inflation. Credit agencies love you when you're an owner. That raises your points. And for the most part, you have the flexibility to express your individuality. But not always. See, I live in a place I could paint my house purple. Not that I'm going to. But if you live in East Lake and you paint your house purple? No. If you try, you'll get a letter from the HOF. And folks, these homeowners associations, they are populated by ex-Gestapo officers. They will, the slightest little infraction, they will send you a nasty little letter. My son was 3 years old, and any chance he got at the pool, poof, all the stuff comes off, and he runs around naked. And my sister-in-law's HOA, she got a letter. One of your guests did not have the proper attire, and in parentheses, naked. He's a three-year-old. I know. Okay. So this is what you're up against. Now, what are the disadvantages? There's financial uncertainty. You got to get the down payment. That's why one of our goals was to build that down payment fund. The financing, home prices could drop. People say, "Yeah, right." Now they say, "Oh, yeah, right." And then a home takes time to sell. A home is not a liquid investment. We'll talk about liquid versus illiquid. How long does it take to sell a house? 3, 4, 6 months, during normal times. Before the Great Recession, 2004, 5, 6, you put it for sale on Thursday. By Saturday, you already have 5 offers, and on Sunday, you write the sales contract. That's what was going on. After the bubble burst, you put your house for sale, and 3, 6, 9, 12 months later, nobody's trying to buy it. Or they're giving you a price that you, wait a minute, I paid $400,000. You're offering me $225,000? Yeah. Oh, well, that's what it's selling for. So be careful. If you want to live in the place, really, fine, buy it. But if you're leaving in 2 or 3 years, you know, you guys in the military, gals in the military, you're going to go to Bremerton, Washington. Should you buy a house now? Maybe. You got that VA loan. But no, it's a pain in the neck. And then the conditions, codes, and restrictions where you can't park your RV, you can't paint your house purple, you can't have a guest running around naked. And is it going to be more expensive to own than to rent? Everyone should say yes. In the short to intermediate term, right? In the short to intermediate term, comparing apples to apples, oranges to oranges, it's always, almost always going to be more expensive to own than it is to rent. You know, 1 or 2 or 3 years, 5 years, intermediate term, 4 or 5 years. Remember chapter 1? Everyone has their own definition. But short term, 1 year, 2 years. 5 years. Yeah, if you're going to be there 5 years, then it's sort of a toss-up. You never know. You're going to get hit with a downturn, but yeah, it's up to you. Those of you in the military who are going to move, you know, it's a real tough decision. But it's actually kind of easy for some people because they give you 0% down. It's pretty hard to argue with that. You'll hear people say, but my house is the best investment I ever made. And then you start pumping them. What other? Well, it's pretty much the only investment I've ever made. Except for those penny stocks. My brother-in-law, the ex-stockbroker, conned me into buying, but those are worthless now. And those gold coins I bought way back in the first Gulf War. That in 1991. What did I do with those damn things? Look, in my humble opinion, and you're going to hear differently, especially real estate agents, in my humble opinion, a house is a home first, an investment second. Yeah, it could be one of the best investments you've ever made. Might be one of the worst investments you've ever made, depending on your situation. But it's not like a stock or a mutual fund or a bond. You can't live in a stock. You're living in your house. So it's an expense. It's a housing expense. Now, it might turn out to be a great investment. 2320 Soto Street has been very, very good to me. But no. What about San Diego? Prices in San Diego have been gone down in the past. They seem to be elevating now. Have you followed what's going on? But it's sort of plateaued a little bit. We'll see. You don't know until in a couple of years. It's not as though San Diego is all of a sudden becoming an undesirable place to live. It'll only be more desirable. If you plan on staying here, by all means, buy whatever you can afford. In my humble opinion, if I were looking for a house now, because I couldn't afford to live where I live now. No way, forget it. I don't want to do that. San Ysidro, National City, two of the best values. Would you live in National City? No? It's actually a pretty cool neighborhood. It's what? It's very walkable. You got the trolley there. The buses are awesome. It's a very... No. San Ysidro, Skid Row. I love San Ysidro. I mean, it's one of the most walkable places in San Diego County. Because you can go right over, walk to TJ, walk around San Ysidro. So you guys decide. If you want a beach value, Imperial Beach, but still, Imperial Beach has gotten outrageous. The beaches are insane. It's just, you look at these houses. That's a nice house. It's worth $1 million. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Just because it happens to be in one of the beach communities. So how many people own their own home? In the morning class, in day classes, this is usually a lot of B's. Okay, cool. So a few A's, mostly B's. Okay, so now, those of you who don't own, do you plan on purchasing a home in San Diego? Yes, I am determined to do it someday. Maybe, but not for many years. No, I will continue to rent here in San Diego. Hell no, I'm moving to a cheaper area. And you see, okay, some A's, some B's. These folks, there are so many good places. You don't have to live in San Diego. I know somebody who moved to Joshua Tree, Arizona. Some people moved to Joshua Tree. And, you know, it's a little hot in the summer. They will tell you it's a little hot in the summer, but they absolutely love it. It's a place where a lot of the artists from Los Angeles, that's the only place they can afford. Right? So they have this thriving art community, and they get together every weekend and play music and do art and stuff. Cool, cool. Okay, so this is a law. I'm old, folks. I was working as a consultant up in North County in 1993,
And I saw this over a sign, a sign over somebody's desk. She was one of the workers there. Said, please, God, let there be another real estate boom, and I promise I won't piss it all away this time. Well, what happened is in the late 70s and the early 1980s, prices in California started to elevate just way more than the rest of the country. And New York City and Washington, D.C., sometimes parts of Chicago. But California was just the poster child for runaway housing prices. And it got to the point where they were just outrageously priced. 1989, 1990, the recession hit, and prices dropped 20, 25%. So this woman in 1993 was saying, please, I won't piss it away this time, I promise. What did she do? She had pulled out the money as a loan, and now her house was worth less than what it was, what she owned. Do you think she pissed it away in 2004, 5, and 6? Because this is exactly what happened. It took several years throughout the 90s. The housing prices sort of crept up, but nothing like they did in the 80s. And then 2000, 2001, off to the races. So we don't know. I don't know how to get in touch with her anymore, but we'll see. So what are the main elements of buying a house? I just love these real estate agents. You just want to slap them. But don't worry. We're gonna insult everybody by the end of the semester. They will tell you that the three most important issues, aspects of buying a home are location, location, and location. You're cute, huh? Cute. But it's true, you know, where the hell is the house is so important. Now, do you remember what we said in chapter 5 about lending money, borrowing money from relatives? Remember we said,
don't do it,
right? Well, here's the exception. Because there's always an exception to every rule, right? It's called equity sharing. And it doesn't have to be with a relative. It could be a business transaction, because that's what it is. You need a lawyer, go see a good real estate lawyer. But it could be with just an investor. And so if you're a young couple, or maybe you're single, and by the way, the largest group, the group that is growing the fastest growing group of individuals who are buying homes is now single women. Yeah, single women are saying, guys, I don't need you. I don't want you. Look what happened. You did my mother. You did my grandmother. No, thank you. And remember that, guys. Be good to the ladies. I'm sorry. Because, you know, they used to need us, guys, for lifting heavy things and to help propagate the species. But now they got machines that do the heavy stuff. And there's 300 million sperm in one ejaculation. So they don't need that many guys, okay? So be good to the ladies, because they're going to take over, thankfully. It's about time. So now, it's a joke. See? One of the other profs on the instructions. You need to tone it down. You're going to get somebody really angry. I don't think so. It's a joke. Well, maybe not. Let's make it easy. Let's make it easy. Let's say you bought a house for $300,000, a condo for $300,000. Okay? Can you find one here in the South Bay? No, no way. Yeah, you can. Yeah, on the other side of 805, down by San Isidro, Nozay Mesa. You know, they're there. If you go out east, you'll find them. El Caban, Sprung Valley, you'll find them. Now, you need a down payment. You need a down payment, but you don't have the cash. So what can you do? You go to your parents, your grandparents, and they come up with, say, 30. Let's make it easy, make it 10% down. Now you get a loan for $270. Are you with me? Make sense? But this is not your money. That's $300. Sorry. So the loan here is $270,000. The down payment was the parents' money or the grandparents', right? Now the young couple, the single person, lives in the house, makes the payments, makes sure the place is kept up, pays the insurance. Everybody's name is on the title now. And let's say 10 years from now the place is worth $400,000. I'm just trying to make it easy here. Let's say it's worth $400,000. What has happened? The house has appreciated $100,000. Now it's typically 50-50 split. So let's use a different color. What has happened? The young couple or the single person has paid down the... Oh, well, let's not use that. Trash. Oh, the trash can is outside. I'll get it afterwards. My apologies. Okay. The young couple or the single person has paid down some of the loan. Let's say they paid down $20,000 just to make life easier. The house has appreciated $100,000. So let's say it's a 50-50 split. $50,000 is now owned by the young couple, the single person. And $50,000 is owned by the parents. So the parents have a $80,000 stake in this. The young couple has $70,000 of equity. Say they sell the house. The parents are going to get the $30,000 and $50,000. The young couple, the single person, could take the $70,000, use it as a down payment on another house. Are you with me? Or the young couple might buy out the parents, the grandparents. They could refinance the loan and pay them off. Are you with me? That's what's going on? How it works? Is this cool? It can be. Because often the biggest impediment to people buying is the down payment. Where do you come up with the $30,000? Because they don't want 10%. They really want 20%. They'd really like you to come up with $60,000. You come up with $30,000, I mean, they're going to talk to you. They'll just talk. If you're a first-time home buyer and you have $15,000, they'll talk to you. But they're going to charge you more. You're not going to get the best rate. You're going to have to pay PMI, which is sort of like PMS, but worse. Because it's there every month. Their PMS is only there a little bit. Not PMI is there. Yeah, I'm in trouble. Oh, see, Professor Kofin Mekabesi, you're going to get in trouble, right? Okay. So think about that, especially if you need a down payment. Get pre-approved. Go to a mortgage broker. Go to your credit union, and they will run the numbers. If you bring your cash flow statement and your net worth statement, they will be duly impressed. Now, they don't care. They're going to do their own. They're going to ask all your data, and they have their own systems. They have their own software. But they'll say, oh, okay, these people are on top of their finances. And what they're going to do is they're going to say, oh, we have this loan with 1 point. Well, what the hell is a point? That's the end of a stick where they poke you in the eye? No. Points are the privilege for you to get the loan. Excuse me. Sorry. Thank you very much. So each point represents 1% of the loan. Now, it started off as a commission to the mortgage broker, but now the banks and the credit unions all charge these things. And so we'll take a look at the relationship of points and interest rates. And then you have to come up with the closing costs. We made it easy by just saying the down payment is $30,000. But they want another $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $5,000, depending on closing costs. Now, what are they called closing costs? Because you close your eyes and... No, don't do that. Read the darn thing. But it's 100 pages long. You won't read all of it. You'll kind of go blind. And we already calculated principal interest. And we also need to think in terms of taxes, insurance, HOA, PMI. Many of them want you to have an escrow account. They want you to pay them not only your principal and interest, but also your taxes and your insurance every month. Now, the insurance is usually due once a year. That's it. You pay it once a year. The taxes are due twice a year. Now, you got to know the county has a great sense of humor. When are they due? Christmas time and income tax time, December and April. Don't they have a great sense of humor? Right, that's why, and they've talked about changing that. They know it's, people don't really like that. That's why they want you to pay it every month, and then the bank or the credit union, the mortgage company will pay it for you. So, are you excited? Are you all turned off to buying a home? You know, all turned off? Good, I hope not. Okay, so let's take a look at the company. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's do this because it's time to go through this because you're getting bored. Let's take a look at some loans, and this is from where is it? Here it is. Let's go here. This is a company called AIM Loan, and part of your assignment is to go take a look at some loans. And some of you, if you want to go into a loan officer's, a mortgage broker's office, right ahead. They'll go right ahead. They'll want to get your social security number and all that other stuff. And then when they realize that you're doing this for a community college class, they'll kind of get out of here. If they're smart, they won't. If they're smart, they'll treat you well because you represent a future client. Okay? So if they're smart, but a lot of them aren't smart. They've got too many things to do. But if you go online, this is one of the companies that makes it easy for you to get all the information. Another one is Cash Call. There are dozens of these Rocket Mortgage and Rabbit Mortgages, all these dozens of these internet places that just do it. This place is actually based in San Diego. They're in Mission Valley. But they do loans all over the country. And you never actually go to the office. Everything is done online. You're over the phone. And then they send a mobile notary to your home. So it's done in your home. And there's a good business opportunity, folks. Mobile notary. You work your buns off, but hey, it's easy to get the license, and if you like driving. Okay. So look, because that's what you do. You just drive everywhere, and with these thick packets of paper. All right. So here's a $320,000 loan, 20% down. So that means the house is $400,000, and we put $80,000 down. That's ideal. You're going to get the best rate. Our credit is very good, 740. That's very good. And if you get a credit card, secure it if you have to, pay it off every month. Within a year, you'll be up over 700. So here's what they're offering. They'll offer you a 30-year fixed loan from anywhere from 3.875 up to 4.75. You see the big range? Well, you want the lowest rate, don't you? What do you have to do to get that? There are the points. That's the loan origination fee. 1.658%. 1.658 points. You have to pay 1.658% just for the privilege of getting the loan. Plus, there are other closing costs of approximately $6,000. So you have to pay $11,000 to get this loan. Now, some people will write a check for $11,000 on top of the down payment. Other people will have those closing costs rolled into the loan. You see the difference about doing that? What's your monthly payment? Tough question. $1,500, right? What if you say, I don't want to pay anything. I don't want to pay any total closing costs at all. I don't want to pay any points. What are they going to do? They're going to charge you a higher interest rate. So this is called the buy down. By paying more closing costs, you get a better interest rate. So look at the difference in the monthly payment. $1,504, $1,660. So over the life of the loan, here you're paying $541, $542. Here you're paying almost $600,000. You see the difference? This is the choice you have to make. Which would you rather have? Which would you rather have? You decide. Well, if you intend on living there and you think, I'm not going anywhere, isn't it better to do this one? An extra $50,000 over the life of the loan? But if you have no intentions of staying, 3 years, 5 years, you're going to Bremerton or Norfolk, you're in the military, or maybe you're going to move to Chicago for your business or whatever, then you go with the cheaper loan up front, and you know you're not going to stick around. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Is this
I'm tired too.
I've been breathing all day. Yes, Tara.
If you're gonna move away in 3 years, why bother the money?
Yeah, maybe I should say 4 or 5 years. It depends. It depends. Some people, if you're in the military, it's almost like a no-brainer. Because anybody in the military?
Well, I'm not in the military, but my boyfriend is, so I know about the lot of things.
You know about the VA? Yeah, the VA loan?
For what?
The 0%. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What did you say? You know about the...
Oh, because we're actually, right now, we're looking into an apartment, so, like, I'm really interested, like, oh, crap, because we're
well,
together soon.
Yeah, he is in the military. I don't know if they've changed it, but anybody else in the military?
What?
You were? Spouse, VA, still have the 0%? Now, I think they put some restrictions on it.
Well, I know they added the housing income.
Yeah, I was about to say that. They give us per month. They're going to start giving us per month.
Socialists.
$2,000 for rent.
I know when people when these I know these MAGA folks, make American America white again.
Hey, he doesn't love foreign country. We deserve the rent.
I know, but these people will scream and holler about socialism. Yeah. They'll say, "Oh, this we gotta stay away from socialism." I say, "You know, the most socialist organization in the United States of America." They go, "What is it?" I say, "It's the Department of Defense." Department of Defense, you're in the military, you get a housing allowance, you get paid if you have kids, you get a VA, you free. I'm just doing it to yank. I'm doing it to yank. I'm doing it to yank their chain, that's all. I'm doing it to So, so VA, 0%? You see how that's cool? And is San Diego going to become less desirable here? I don't think so. Another bomb cyclone just came to the East Coast, right? And you know, people, my brother-in-law, a few years ago, he said, "This is it. I'm leaving New York." He went to Tucson. He said, "Oh, I love it. I love it." Couldn't afford San Diego. Questions, thoughts, ideas? So now, and here's the 3.5%. I'm sorry, here's the 15-year loan. 3.25. Upwards of 4.25, but the same situation. Do you want to pay the closing costs now, get the lower monthly payment, and have fewer costs over the life of the loan? Or do you want to get $0 now, but have a higher monthly payment? If you have a loan that's, say, 5, 6%, what do you care? I don't have to pay a dime, and I can lower my payment. You with me? You understand? If you have an existing loan at 5 or 6%, that's a no-brainer. Go down and talk to your mortgage broker. Go down and talk to your loan officer at your bank or credit union. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Cool? Okay, good. Now, let's take a look at the different types of houses. Do you want the single family dwelling with the white picket fence and the 2.3 kids out in the yard with a dog? 2.3 kids? 2.2? You need 2.2 just to keep the population stable, unless you have immigration. How are we doing with immigration? Would you live in a duplex? Live in one, rent out the other? At least you know what's going on. Not to your family, right? Then they might not wind up paying, right? Yeah. A townhome, condominium. You know, they say you own the four walls. You don't even own the four walls. The HOA owns the four walls. You get the space inside. And then you don't see co-ops too much here on the West Coast. You see them in the East Coast. It's a business relationship. You buy into this housing system, and some of them are very high class in the cities back east. And then you rent one of the units, but you're basically an owner. It's kind of strange. I never thought understood why. But some of them are one of the most exclusive places in New York, the Dakotas. Have you heard of the Dakotas? That's where the celebrities live. That's where John Lennon was shot. Would you live in a manufactured home or a mobile home? Trailer trash. Folks, this is the best deal in the world. The houses are actually well built. They're not always maintained very well. But the problem is owning the land. You can't own the land here in San Diego. It's already bought up. If you can move out of San Diego or someplace, you know, East County or someplace where you actually buy the land. Because if you buy the land, it actually appreciates. Typically a mobile home, if you don't own the land, they're like RVs. They depreciate, which is a tremendous opportunity. Go to some of these mobile home parks and these houses are for sale for $10,000. What do you care? If you live there for a few years, what do you care? $10,000 is, you know, it's a lot cheaper than renting. You have to rent the land, though, underneath it. And that's, you know, not a trivial expense. Buy the land if you can afford to. That's not going to be possible here in San Diego. Get a warranty on the installation as well as the manufacturing. Because the installation is often the most troublesome aspect. If the dealer will not provide a warranty on the installation, walk away and go to your credit union for the financing. Because the dealerships, that's where they offer, just like a car, they'll make a lot of their money off of the loan. And then lastly, would you build a home? Would you have a house built? Again, San Diego, No, you got it. The land is so expensive. It's just unless you move out to Alpine or somewhere, Hamor or something like that, and you gotta get a good referral. Contractors, there are horror stories. Any horror stories, contractors? Any? What? Somebody you came. I'll give you one. I'll give you. This is the best one. Okay. Sorry to interrupt. I know it's a terrible habit I have of interrupting my students when they're talking. So these people have two kids, two daughters, and one was a little older and one was a little younger than our son. So that at first, when we were newborns and toddlers, they were playing. But then when our son went to the public school, and their child, of course, had gone to the private school, we were no longer, personas non gratis. We were no longer, worthy. Okay, no big deal. I don't care. Big deal. But they told us, I was incredibly supportive. And so they hired a guy who told them that he could pull the roof off and build the second story in 2 weeks. And they believed him. I don't know, he gets some guys, he pulls the roof off and then promptly checks himself into rehab because he had been in a drunken stupor for 6 weeks and didn't remember anything. And I'm sitting there going, oh, that's so terrible, you stupid idiot, how could you be so... So they had to move in with the grandparents, which they had already done, they had moved into the grandparents, and they were there for 6 months. So... get a good referral and make sure that the person doesn't smell like a pint bottle. Okay. All right. You ready to buy? You ready to buy? No? Okay. So you're ready. Okay. We got a down payment. We got a good credit. We got a decent job. We get laid off. We can find another job. Go get pre-qualified at a mortgage broker, credit union. They want to know. The first thing they're going to ask you is where the hell are your down payment? Right? Where is your down payment? They want you to bring them a copy of your bank statement or your credit union statement. Right? They want to see it, and we discuss the. They're gonna do a cash flow statement for you. You bring them your cash flow statement; they'll be impressed. As you move to a second or third home, you can include more of the features you want, but look at the condition of the home. Select the location. Can you park your RV? What are the zoning laws? The school system is very important to some people. Poway, you pay a premium to live in Poway because the school system is so great. I don't know. Now, do you trust a real estate agent? Do you trust real estate agents? Well, folks, keep your back to the wall. And don't worry, we're going to insult everybody, so don't worry about that. But they present the offer and negotiate the price, assist you in obtaining financing, represent you at the closing, and they'll stab you in the back if you're not careful. I swear, these people... I some of my best friends are real estate. No, this is a woman that I was acquaintance with, and she was saying how this is what they'll tell you. This is the same person. Oh, you should always go with a real estate agent when you're buying because the seller pays for the real estate commission. Is that true? Typically. The typical transaction, the seller pays the real estate's commission. Even though you might have a buyer's real estate, a real estate agent who's your buyer, and of course the seller has a real estate agent. They share in the commission, but the real estate agent is paid by the seller. Okay. Then with a straight face, the same woman, not at the same time, but later on, said, oh, you should always use a real estate agent when you're selling because the price of the commission is built into the price of the house. Did you see what she just said? Mm-hmm. And one time she's saying, oh no, the seller pays. Oh no, the buyer pays. In other words, just pass. Because if you go without a real estate agent, if you try to sell without a real estate agent, you're going to get knocked down in price. Maybe. But it's gotten to the point now where the transactions are so complicated that you really do need a real estate agent. So I have the names of two people who are honest. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody who's honest in the industry. And one is, she's a shark. She's a pit bull. And the other one is this kind of, He's like, ah. But he's not stupid. He's not stupid. He's very, very sharp. And I said, where is the integrity in your industry? He said, well, you know, some people are very trustworthy and other people are not so trustworthy. And so I gave you some anecdotal evidence, right, of this, what this woman said. A gentleman by the name of Dubner, Stephen Dubner, which is his silly name, but that's his name. He wrote a book called Freakonomics. Have you heard of Freakonomics?
Yeah.
It's an awesome book, and it spawned a whole wave of other things, a radio show and other things. It's a horrible name. And this guy is an economist who, am I interrupting a party or something? I apologize. You know, it's a terrible habit. So please, if you want to do something, you want to sign. What was I? Oh, yeah. It's a terrible name, but he had these ideas. He would ask questions like, if drug dealers are making so much money, how come they're living with their mothers? That doesn't make any sense. You know, if abortion is so horrible, how come the crime rate went down 20 years after abortion became illegal? I don't understand that. So he went in there and started asking these questions. And one of the questions he asked was, what will a real estate agent sell your house for, and what will they sell their own house for? So he had hundreds of thousands of transactions, and he was able to determine who was a real estate agent that sold their own house. It turns out that the real estate agent who's selling their own house will sell it for an average, and this was $1,990, for $10,000 to $20,000 more. Why? Because they have to wait a few more weeks. If you're a real estate agent, you don't get paid until the transaction happens. So you get an offer, even though you know if you wait a few more weeks, we'll get a better offer. We want that transaction to happen now because I want the money in my pocket, and it's only a few hundred dollars difference for me. It's $10,000 or $20,000 different for the seller. So when they're selling their own house, they'll wait a few more weeks, maybe a month, and get a better price. Now, when he published this, what do you think happened? Oh, boy, the real estate agents were not happy with this. And here's the statistics. And when he published this thing about abortion, in the 1980s, you weren't alive, many of you, but in the 1980s, crime was going up. In the 1990s, people were so afraid that crime was going to just take over the nation that we passed this three strikes law. You guys weren't around, but some of you were. Crime went down precipitously. And nobody can explain why. Mr. Dubner explained why. Because of abortion. And how do you think the Christian right, they were not happy about this. And they said, show us your data. He showed the data. And then he showed what happened in Romania, where in the late 1960s, early 1970s, they outlawed abortion to the point you couldn't even get contraceptives. And the crime rate, 20 years later, skyrocketed. So read Freakonomics, and he talked about people how people name their children. What names are very popular? Am I getting you interested? You want to read the book? I hope so. And how certain names were very popular, and then certain names were really disastrous. One guy had seven kids. He named his seventh one Winner. His eighth one Loser. And what happened? Winner went on to be incarcerated. Loser became a law enforcement agent. And he was mostly referred to as Lou. Okay. So read Freakonomics. See, I'm going to get you guys to read one book before you leave. One book before you leave. Okay. Wake up. Everybody wake up. Oh, appraisal. You want a job? You want a job? You will never be want for employment. You will be working your fanny off. You'll make a lot of money, but you'll never have time to enjoy it. Become an appraiser. These people, it's not an easy job to get. You have to go through lots of training, and there's lots of ethics involved, but it's a great job. Conduct a home. The books, I don't agree. These home inspectors are idiots. I don't want to tell you, but don't trust a home inspector. They'll tell you everything's fine. No. Get a good contractor, get a plumber, get an electrician, have them go through the house, pay them a few hundred dollars. You're going to have to pay them a couple hundred bucks. And to have a home inspection. It's better than paying the home inspector $300 or $400 and them telling you everything's fine when it's not. Check the neighborhood, recent transactions. How we do over time? Negotiating the purchase price. Normally, the agent works for the seller. Always keep this in mind. Is it a seller's or a buyer's market? What is it now? Is it a seller or a buyer's market? It's been a seller's market the last couple of years, but now prices are starting to decrease. So people are saying, hey, maybe it's a buyer's market. What's earnest money? This is different from the down payment. Remember we said our down payment was $3,000? They're going to want you, on the day you sign the sales contract, this is the contract, the house hasn't changed hands yet, they're going to want you to come up with $3,000 to $5,000 that most people will not use the term down payment because this is the down payment. This is the down payment. But this is earnest money or sales deposit. If you back out of the sales contract, what happens to your $3,000? They get to keep it. So what you want, and a good agent will help you with this, is you want to put in the sales contract contingency clause. Like the word contingency? Contingency. Say it. Contingency. Doesn't it feel good when you say it? Contingency. You can feel contingency. And so what you're saying is, look, I want to buy this house, but I want to make it contingent on obtaining financing. Hopefully you've got the financing pre-qualified. I want to make it contingent on being able to sell my house because that's where the down payment's coming from. When I sell my house, that's where I'm going to give you the down payment. So that way, if it does fall through, you'll hear the term fall out of escrow. If it does fall through, then you get your $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 back. Are you with me? You understand? Yeah, think about that. Think about that. And a good real estate agent will help you with that. How are we doing for time? Okay, let's get out of here. No, let's go. Let's continue. I know. We'll continue. What's PMI? Private mortgage insurance. It's kind of like PMS. It's not. But we're going to take a look at that in the next slide. Have you been pre-qualified? Get pre-qualified. Go to your loan broker. Go to your credit union. Go to your bank. And then we already discussed buying down the points. Okay, let's take a look at PMI real fast and then almost done. Okay. Private mortgage insurance is normally required, not always, but remember we said this is 10% down? If you have 20% down, then they cannot, which means you're only going to have a loan for $240,000, you have to come up with $60,000. They cannot require private mortgage insurance. But if it's less than 20% down, 10, 5% down, they're going to want you to have private mortgage insurance. Now, this is such a great deal. You pay it every year, I mean every month, $100, $200 a month, and it protects the lender in case you default. So who's paying for it? You are. Who's getting the protection? They are. What a deal, right? Do you think they want to get rid of this thing? No. But I've seen different numbers. But it's supposed to disappear when your equity in the house reaches 20%, whether you've paid down the loan or the house is worth more. Now, I've seen also the number 22%, and I'm not sure, and I forgot to go look to get the definitive. But we'll stick with 20%, okay? 20%. Sound like a test question? When the equity builds to 20%, whether you've paid down the loan or the house is appreciated, they are supposed to get rid of it. But they're not going to get rid of it. They don't want to get rid of it. They're not paying for it, and it's helping them. So there are ways to get around it. A real estate agent or a loan broker should help you. But if it reaches 20%, either from paying down the loan or appreciating, ask them, get rid of this. Okay, so now we're ready for mortgages. This is where we will now take a break. Everybody stretch! I apologize if this is a little dry, but oh, you want to buy a house someday? It's called buyer's remorse, folks. You will not be alone. You will be scared to death about buying a house. You will think, is this a good idea? Is this a good idea? I don't know if it's a good idea. You're not alone. It's called buyer's remorse. And when we come back, I'm going to let you go a little early because you're always kind of... Those of you who want to stick around, share some other stuff. But when we come back, we'll discuss the mortgages because this is the most important part. Do we want a conventional mortgage or do we want an adjustable rate mortgage?
Okay? Questions, thoughts, ideas? Now, next week, when's the exam? Next Thursday, exam number 2, chapter 5, interest, principal times rate times time, check reconciliation. If you need to, I have some extras. If anybody needs extra check reconciliation sheets. And then the mortgage calculations, which we did at the beginning of the lesson, we will do them again on Tuesday. And then after next Thursday is the spring break. So you won't have anything to worry about. We come back insurance. Ugh. Okay, I'll stick around.
The calculations. Yeah, so we still have a...